Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. By now, you've likely heard about the brilliant six-word story attributed to Ernest Hemingway, For Sale, Baby Shoes, Never Worn. Hemingway was a methodical master of economy, editing his own work with extreme care, sometimes taking a full morning to write a single paragraph. In other words, the antithesis of how we communicate today, when being the first to tweet something snarky is valued above getting it right. How then to tell a story to convey meaning and evoke real feeling in 140 characters or less? Our guest believes that we can embrace this fast-paced world of micro-messages without sacrificing literary values. Roy Peter Clark, Vice President and Senior Scholar at the Poynter Institute and author of How to Write Short, Wordcraft for Fast Times. That book is now out in paperback, and we welcome you, Roy Peter Clark, to Word of Mouth.
Virginia, it's my pleasure.
This is the fourth in a series of books on writing and journalism. This comes to us at a time when much of what we read is considered clickbait, you know, designed to grab eyeballs and clicks, and is criticized in many circles as dumbing down writing. Can brevity be smart and be deep?
Well, the inspiration for this particular book turns out to be a public radio personality, Scott Simon, the NPR weekend anchor. We were both at a book festival a few years ago, and he gave the keynote, and he told a story, a lesson that his stepfather taught him. And the stepfather said to him, "You know, Scott, they say that a picture's worth 1,000 words, and we've probably all seen pictures that we thought were worth thousands of words." He said, "But think about this. Think about these historical texts. Think about the Hippocratic Oath, the Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm, any Shakespeare sonnet, the preamble to the Constitution, the Gettysburg Address, and let's throw in the last paragraph of Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech that people quote so often." And he said, take those seven texts, historical texts, and add them up, and you get fewer than 1,000 words. Now, I didn't believe this. And some of these documents come in at different lengths. But I was finally able to assemble a collection of those documents that equaled 996 words. And I said, wow, the lesson is that we've always reserved the most important messages for the shortest texts. Which was sometimes some of my friends refer to as the Jesus wept effect, the shortest sentence in the Bible. Two words, subject and verb.
Well, your first bit of advice to writers who would like to aspire to that kind of writing and write short is to read short. What are some of your favorite sources for good short writing?
Well, what's interesting is that they come from all different places. You know, they come from historically. In the era before the digital age, we have everything from proverbs from the Bible. We have the things that people write on gravestones. We have short poems. We have sayings that people repeat over and over again. For example, I have some favorites. So one of my favorites is the title of a poem by T.S. Eliot, The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock. And I hold that up against one of my favorite television show titles of all time, which is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And what does Buffy have to do with J. Alfred Prufrock? And the answer to that is that in both of those titles, two key elements don't seem to go together. Of all the names that you would try to construct to accompany the phrase love song, I don't think J. Alfred Prufrock would be high on the list. So T.S. Eliot places some sort of creative tension between the romantic element and the sort of banker identity of that name. And then the case of Buffy, for generations, the vampire slayer was named Professor Van Helsing or
right.
something like that.
Right.
And so to make the savior of the universe a 16-year-old blonde California high school girl was Joss Whedon's wonderful invention. And when she happens to die, although she's brought back to life, like after the third or fourth season, we see her gravestone, and it says on it, the epitaph, it says, "She saved the world a lot." And so I had more fun writing this book than any book I've ever written. And it has to do with how interesting, creative, and important examples of short writing are, like, over time. Can I give you one more quick example?
Sure, please.
So it occurred to me as I was looking at Twitter and Facebook messages that perhaps an analogy could be found in the telegrams of the first half of the 20th century, because those messages were sold by the word.
By the word, yeah.
And therefore, economy meant something on two levels. And so I have a collection of famous messages, but one of my favorites is when the Hollywood Reporter sends a telegram to Cary Grant because he's writing a profile about him and he wants a detail that he doesn't have. And so the original telegram said, "How old Cary Grant?" To which the famous actor replied, "Old Cary Grant, fine. How you?" So we get humor, we get pathos in the messages that were sent home from the war front in World War II. We get all kinds of interesting insights into human life, and many of them are within 6 words or 10 words or within 140 characters.
We're talking about writing short with one of America's most influential writing teachers. Roy Peter Clark is with us. He's author of several books, including a recent series on writing. The most recent is now in paperback, How to Write Short, Wordcraft for Fast Times. So T-shirts, bumper stickers, baseball cards, Shakespearean sonnets and excerpts from plays. These are many of your sources for good short writing, including song lyrics. In the book, you interpret the Tom Petty song Free Fallen. First, why this song?
Well, you know, I've played in garage bands since I was I guess probably since I was 12 years old, trying to figure out what the lyrics to Louie Louie really meant. So,
how'd you make out?
Well, eventually I discovered that they weren't as nasty as our parents thought they were. I guess I've always been attuned to the economy of the lyric as a short form of writing and as a form of poetry. And there was something haunting in Free Falling that I wanted to sort of discover the sources of that and what it would teach us about writing in general.
Well, let's listen to just a clip.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus. In America, too, she's a good girl. She's crazy about Elvis, loves horses, and her boyfriend, too.
And that's just a line from Tom Petty's 1989 song, Free Fallen. So what is it that stands out about this for you?
Well, here's what I wrote about it. I just happened to sort of land on that in the book. And it says, I wrote, "The half line that gets me every time, so much that I appear to hear it above the rest, is crazy about Elvis."
Hmm.
She could love the Beatles or the Birds, but chooses Elvis to love, a bad boy in his own right, whose addictions will lead to an early grave. Think of the phrase crazy about Elvis as a kind of grace note that is a small, almost exquisite ornament in music, most surprising when it turns out to be the only decoration.
Brilliantly chosen, huh?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Before we close, I just have to ask you about your job at Poynter. I mean, that's a prestigious journalism school. And there is a lot of concern in journalism, especially about long-form writing, long-form investigative pieces. It's not something that's easy to fund anymore. Now, you, in writing and encouraging people to write shorter, would you be happy if people started, everybody started writing shorter? And if so, what gets lost in that edit?
Well, here's what I would say. Short writing and long writing are cousins rather than enemies. And what I mean by that is that it's very often the short piece of writing that will grow into a longer narrative or a book. Remember, you're talking to a man who has written a book about short writing.
Mm-hmm. It's not just a web post.
Exactly. And the other thing that happens is that longer writing, long-form journalism or narrative or fiction, can have, requires elements of short writing to make it stick. We can all think of all of the famous long novels that we read and were formative in our lives have memorable short titles. You know, War and Peace, The Grapes of Wrath. And so there are chapter titles to be written. Now, in the digital age, it's very often short forms of writing that promote longer forms of writing, that link to important works of journalism or literature. So once again, I think versatility is the writer's virtue of the day.
Well, Roy Peter Clark, thank you very much for your short and long lessons for us today.
Thank you, Virginia.
Roy Peter Clark, Vice President and Senior Scholar at Poynter. His latest book is called How to Write Short, Wordcraft for Fast Times. It's the fourth in a series of books about writing by Clark, and it's now out in paperback. You find link to more on all four books and an excerpt from How to Write Short and to his blog with all sorts of tips, short ones, at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.